Today is May 18th, 2016, and this is episode number 360 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm in charge of muting devices.
Hooray! The Mutinator.
We're in trouble, seeing as how we got the their Apple Pay sound as I was trying to mute.
That was pretty exciting.
It's kind of fail. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Yeah, totally do that.
Definitely do that. We like it when you do that.
Yeah, it makes us feel good.
It does, yeah. Yeah. It gives us validation.
And believe me, we need validation.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy, howdy.
We need validation. It's not even funny. Not even funny. So, how are you?
I'm good. I am fine. I am just fine. How are you?
I'm fine, except for you never call.
You never send me flowers anymore.
Well, maybe if you called, I would.
Let's hug.
Okay. Let's see here. What do we got? Do we have a show to do?
I think we're done. Should I cue the bumper?
I think we're supposed to do something. I think we're supposed to. Oh, right. China.
Oh, sure. China.
Did you see that thing that I just posted?
I saw the thing you just posted.
Literally, I don't know.
It was literally seconds before we started recording.
Yeah, it's about 4 minutes ago from right now.
And I totally got my groove on.
Yeah, it's Tim Cook and J.J. Lin. I'll be honest, I didn't know who J.J. Lin was.
I learned all my moves from Tim.
Oh, you're in sad shape, sir. J.J. Lin is apparently a bit of a superstar in the Chinese-speaking world. He's actually Singapore-born. Mm-hmm. But he's based out of Taiwan, and he's kind of a big deal in Taiwan and China. He's got something like 15 albums out. I mean, he looks like a kid too, right?
Yeah, well, he's probably an overachiever. I mean, a kid with 15 albums out?
Well, 15 albums and his own clothing line and a bunch of other stuff too. I mean, he's a big deal. He's a big deal.
Oh, man, I feel like I've just wasted my life. Middle age, I don't even have my own clothing line.
Yeah, or, you know, one album. Well, I have an album out.
See, at least you have an album out. All I have is one book and a blog where I make fun of people in coffee shops.
I don't have a book published yet.
Oh, face.
I co-authored the thing with Bob, but that doesn't count. You did the whole thing by yourself.
I did the whole thing by myself.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I actually had to buy a new computer partway through because I typed mine into the ground. Seriously.
It's true. I remember. But turns out J.J. Lin's done a bunch more stuff. And he's also made a 44-second video with Tim Cook.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Like, seriously, it's pretty fun.
It is fun, and it's a brilliant move. And it's part of this. On was it Tuesday or Monday? What's the day?
Today is Wednesday.
So it was Monday. Apple released.
The GarageBand update.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's kind of an update. Apple released some additional content for GarageBand that was included in an update.
Yeah. It was like a couple bug fixes. And by the way, all this Chinese music loop stuff.
Yeah. 300 loops and a bunch of Chinese instruments for the virtual instruments that you can play in GarageBand. And which really, I mean, this. I've long felt that Apple did the loops and then sort of forgot about the loops. It's one of the many neglected things. Like, I mean, I don't know. GarageBand and Logic both feel like products that don't get the kind of attention they need to get.
That kind of happens a lot. But yeah, I'm with you.
And at the same time, there was more sound, by the way. I'm still in charge of muting things. Did you hear that?
I missed hearing it. So okay, we're going to pretend like you got it muted in time.
No, I was anyway. Okay. So, Apple actually released the stuff with a press release.
Yeah, that was weird.
Because yeah, Apple doesn't, I mean, you know, Apple doesn't do press releases for GarageBand anymore.
No, they don't. And yet, they did.
They did. And the reason why they did is because Apple is working right now on buttressing its product line, its presence, and more importantly, I think, it's buttressing its product lines and its presence in China and India. We had some Indian news today. We had Chinese news earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, Apple is working hard on learning how to be a Chinese company and an Indian company.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, and it's probably what it's going to take to resume its growth in China and to further its growth in China, but to really kickstart itself in India. There's a lot about working in India that Apple doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to be a company that those, like, you know, I suspect that where Apple wants to be is perceived as a company with Western sex appeal, Silicon Valley sex appeal, even, mm-hmm. and local, but with local roots and local, you know, with that knows how to operate like a local company. I suspect that's where Apple wants to be.
I think you're right. I also think it's interesting how Apple is going about this. So instead of just getting a PR agency to come up with a campaign that says, hey, we're your friends and we're part of your culture and you should just love our products because, hey, Apple, Tim Cook is actually over in China right now and he's been in India and he's sitting down and talking with people. And it feels like what Apple is trying to do is more organic than less contrived than simply putting together a marketing campaign. Although, of course, this is all part of the marketing engine.
Well, I would actually say that what we're seeing in China is the result of some of Apple's learning how to be Chinese. So Apple, the other thing that Apple did late last week after we recorded the show is Apple invested $1 billion in a company called Didi.
Mm-hmm. What does Didi do?
It coughs while it's on mute.
Oh, see, your muting totally worked.
Yeah, that time it did. Didi is
it's like a rideshare thing.
Our note to our affiliates, we may end up going longer because of my coughing.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it all out. It's fine. So anyhow, Didi, it's sort of like a ride sharing thing, sort of like Uber for China.
It's the Uber of China. They have 14 million registered drivers. They do 11 million rides a day. They're into chauffeuring and deliveries and food service deliveries and ride sharing. And it's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for covering for me there.
Oh, sure. Kind of a big deal.
And Apple invested $1 billion in them. The company is reportedly
planning $1 billion or $1 million?
$1 billion.
Okay. I knew what you were saying, but it came across a little bit muddled. So
Sorry.
What I did is I totally set it up so it sounded like I didn't know, and got you to clarify. I thought that was really slick. Anyhow, yeah, carry on.
And now no one will know.
I know.
And the company is reportedly wanting to IPO in the U.S., not in China. It is probably eventually is going to expand to outside of China, possibly to the U.S. And it got me, I don't know, do we want to go down that rabbit hole?
Yeah, we might as well. I mean, you just opened up the hole and climbed in, so I'll follow you right down that hole. Let's go.
Well, it got me wondering if the Apple car isn't going to be a car that Apple sells to us.
So if they don't sell it to us, to whom would it be sold?
Possibly to no one, or maybe to Didi. But imagine... Here's the deal. This is all about the setup. Ride sharing offers a lot of potential for making car use more efficient. By more efficient, I mean where fewer cars are used more of their lives.
Okay.
For more hours in the day. Fewer cars, more hours in the day. Doesn't actually take any cars off the road, except for it does take cars out of parking lots and garages and off the streets, parking on the streets. And it makes it possible for some people not to own a car at all, and it certainly makes it possible for even more people to not own a second car.
Mm-hmm.
Talking, of course, about families, married couples and families.
Right.
But if you look further ahead, 5, 10, maybe 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but probably in the next 5 to 10 years, and we're looking at autonomous vehicles, well, shared autonomous vehicles are going to rewrite most of the rules of transportation as we know them today. And those autonomous vehicles, they might be owned by you and me. And, when we're not using our autonomous vehicle, we tap a button on our smartphones and it goes off and gives other people rides for a little money.
Right? Okay.
That might be the case. That probably will be the case. But it will be even more dominated by fleets of autonomously driven cars.
Okay.
Uber has already declared that it can't wait to fire all of its drivers.
Yeah, but those Uber drivers are really happy.
Yeah, well, Uber. Uber doesn't do anything. Uber has no truck with compassion and respect for its customers or its drivers, in my opinion. But Uber has always already declared its interest in having its own fleet of autonomous vehicles. And it's easy to see that.
That
I'm coughing.
Oh, see, where you coughed, it was like the perfect place for me not to have an easy way to fill in for you. Sorry. But it's all right. No one knows.
Yeah, we're just magical like that.
We're totally magical like that.
But it's not going to be just Uber. It really can't be just probably shouldn't be just one company for a lot of competitive reasons. But it could well be a company like Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple could be skating to where that puck is going to be. And Apple is planning to leapfrog electric cars sold to you and me, and even autonomous vehicles sold to you and me. And Apple could be planning on leapfrogging to the point where it has deployed its own fleet of cars, where it competes on rides, for rides with, on experience and protecting your privacy.
That's kind of interesting. So Apple would go head to head with the ride sharing companies, or Apple could create its fleet of vehicles and then lease them out to the ride sharing companies.
Yeah, it's true. Apple could just do it that way too. And Apple could, even if it actually sees, even if Apple is thinking about the autonomous shared vehicle future, Apple could still be planning on selling these things to us. But its investment in Didi made me, because one of the things they said is that they invested in Didi because they wanted to learn more about China. But those same words that Apple issued referring its investment in Didi could be interpreted as we want to learn more about this market, which I think is CarPlay is another effort where Apple is learning about cars and how people use them and how people drive them.
You know, and investing in Didi to learn more about China, they could have just as easily invested in, say, a chip manufacturing company.
Yeah, and they may.
And they may. But the fact that they chose this car share or driver program company, I think that's very interesting.
It is interesting. The whole thing is interesting. And
You're kind of stuck. You can't figure out what you want to say.
Well, I just have a million different things to say about this. I said on TDO, and I actually wrote, this is the idea that Apple isn't planning to sell the Apple car to you and me. This is one of the, we know that Apple is working on a car. We know this. I've met people working on the car.
Yeah, that's a pretty good indication Apple's working on a car.
Yeah. If you were in denial about Apple working on a car, you are truly in denial. I'm telling you, Apple is working on a car. Whether or not Apple ships the car remains to be seen, but Apple is working on a car. I believe that Apple is committed to shipping that car as well, but that's another story.
I think you're right, and I think that this investment in Didi plays into that in some way.
It probably plays into it in some way. And of course, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a bunch of reasons why Apple would make this investment. For one thing, it's putting capital outside the U.S. to work. Right. That's a message for Wall Street. It's also, you know, will eventually be good for Apple's bottom line. It'd be additional. It'll be another revenue stream of some sort.
It's a goodwill gesture in China.
It is. It is, although I personally think that it's not as foolproof a gesture as some people seem to think, because there are elements within China, protectionist elements within China, that not only want to keep foreign companies out, they're not even overly interested in foreign investment. So it's not a foolproof gesture, but it is a gesture that is, you know, it is Apple working with a local company, and that will be seen positively in at least some circles within the Chinese leadership.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Right. It's and it's also Apple investing in a company that's not Uber.
Yeah, that kind of sends a message to Uber now, doesn't it?
To me, it does. You know, Uber is a company that has a reputation for being callous with customer data, being callous towards drivers, being callous towards women, being callous towards its own employees, being threatening journalists with doxing. I mean, just doing a bunch of really, really appalling things that frankly make me tense as can be. And I would imagine that Apple doesn't really want to be involved with that. I don't know that for sure. By any means do I know that. It's just speculation on my part. But
I think it's reasonable speculation.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. It is. I think it's reasonable. And so I don't know. It's interesting. But it's also Apple learning how to be a Chinese company. Other cultures think differently about things than our culture. And as Western imperialists, we have a long history in both from a corporate standpoint and from a political standpoint of marching into other countries and doing things our way. And for Apple, that has many aspects of that have worked quite well. Apple has done well in China by being a Western brand operating in the country. But there are other aspects about working in China that are very peculiar very particular to China, to the Chinese, you know, the Chinese people themselves, of course, are a mixture of, I don't know, dozens of subcultures.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'll even grant you peculiar. If you go to the more arcane use of the word peculiar.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I sure. meant to say particular, but.
Yeah. But yeah. So we'll stick with particular for now, but what I'm doing is letting you know that depending on the definition you use, peculiar is still an acceptable word.
Excellent. Yay me.
Yay you.
And so anyway, there you have it. And this thing with J.J. Lin, this GarageBand release, this is just Apple putting some of its money to work, noticing, you know, learning more about China. And, you know, at some point someone realized that, yeah, GarageBand is really nifty, but, you know, it doesn't have any cultural relevance. The tools that are built into it don't have a lot of cultural relevance. They're going to have relevance to people who are interested in Western music,
mm-hmm.
be it Western instrumentation or rock and roll or blues or, you know, country, et cetera, various Western forms of instrumentation and music. And they're not going to be relevant to people who are actually interested in producing something that's peculiar particular to their culture.
You're just totally stuck on that now. That's okay. That's okay.
I am totally.
You know, I also find it very interesting that it's Tim Cook that is in China. Apple could have sent any number of executives over to China, but it's the CEO of the company that's there.
Well, we can assume that this little video that J.J. Lin posted, and note that, by the way, here's a video that is clearly a marketing message for Apple. They're sitting in front of a window where there's an Apple Watch ad plastered on the side of a building in the background, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is clearly a marketing message for Apple, but Apple didn't post it, and Tim Cook didn't post it. It's J.J. Lin that posted it. And I mean, this is like Apple realizing that a message is going to be a lot more authentic if it doesn't come from Apple.
Yeah, I think that was a really smart move.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But you could assume that this whole thing was the end result of lots of executives having been over in China and probably a market team whose job is to learn more about China and helping Apple understand how to be that. So yeah, Tim Cook is the one who's there. Tim Cook is the one who's in the video, but you can assume that there are probably tens of thousands of man hours over the last several years leading up to that particular moment.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. And I'm also thinking now that we'll have some revisionist Vulcan history, and the old Vulcan proverb is going to change from only Nixon could go to China to only Tim Cook could go to China.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. And then there's this thing that Apple's doing in India. That was today. It's so funny that I wrote a piece on Tuesday talking about this stuff, talking about Apple wanting to learn how to be a native company.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that, you know, we could probably see some more of this stuff in the future, maybe with India. And boom, today or later that night, actually, Apple released a press release announcing an app developer center in India's tech boom. What's the name of that city?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but while you look it up, I thought it was very interesting that Apple made this happen. And I think that choosing India was a decision Apple made, not just because they thought, hey, this would be a good area to have this center, but because it's a really nice, good faith gesture to the Indian government and the Indian people, who so far have not been very open to the idea of foreign companies, including Apple, coming into their space.
Well, I'm gonna give you a little pushback on that.
Okay.
because, you know, Apple, so Apple did $1 billion in business in India, which, you know, to most companies would be like, you know, a big deal.
Right.
And it is a significant achievement, to be honest, but it's nowhere near the business that Apple does in, say, China.
Sure.
Or certainly in the US, and yet it's this huge market. And one of the big things that Apple has had difficulty dealing with in India is, first of all, it sells premium products in a market where people make even less money on average than in, say, China, which is further along its emerging status than India is.
Mm-hmm.
But also, India buys and sells cell phones differently than in most of the rest of the world. It's independent, small mom and pops. You know, uncounted jillions of these things across the country, and they're all relatively small. And there are these, you know, vast networks of these mom and pops, and not, they don't go through the carriers.
Okay, so if I were in India, I wouldn't go into an AT&T store, you know, assuming AT&T was there, and pick up an iPhone. I'd go to mom's cell phone and electronics shop down the street and get something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there are many other aspects of working. I mean, like, so Indians are very interested in having devices that are built in India. Of course, so is China, and so is Brazil, and, you know, so are some of the other emerging markets. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of pride associated with that in India. Marketing is done differently. People that do service, or the service, is handled differently. There are a lot of aspects of doing business in India that are very different than doing business in the States, very different from doing business in China. Mm-hmm. And I think that this investment that Apple is doing, it's called, what are they calling it? They're calling it a design and development accelerator. And the city is Bengaluru.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Apple called that the home of India's startup scene. You know, think of it as like Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Okay.
Tens of thousands of developers, and I'm reading here, tens of thousands of developers in India make apps for iOS, the world's most powerful mobile, et cetera. I guess a lot of them are based out of Bengaluru, but this is not just about a good faith effort, and this is not just a way of pumping resources into India so that more people there learn how to make apps for iPhone. This is about Apple working to become an Indian company too.
Yeah, I just find all of this so fascinating. I think this goes back to the old line that some people credit to Steve Jobs, but it's actually much older than that. It's a hockey player: skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it is. And I think this is Apple doing just that.
Yeah, you know, most like Xiaomi has done well in in India, despite rivalry between China and India. And one of the reasons why is because Xiaomi cranks out cheap Android devices.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who have looked to conquer the Indian market have looked to do so with cheap devices. Apple's probably not going to start making cheap devices. Now, Apple is trying to get permission to sell secondhand, used, refurbished, i.e.,
mm-hmm.
Refurbished devices in India. And has met with resistance from the Indian government, and some Indian people don't like it either. But that is one way for Apple to sell less expensive products. But Apple is not going to start making, at least I don't think, is going to start making a cheap product for the Indian market. It's besides, like,
I would be very surprised.
Yeah.
That's not the Apple way, regardless of who's running the company.
No. It's not. But that doesn't mean that Apple can't learn how to do business as an Indian company. It just means that Apple needs to learn how to do business as an Indian company while still remaining Apple.
Right. I'm sure Apple will get it all sorted out, but yeah, that's going to be a trick.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Probably. It's interesting. It's really interesting to watch. And it's you know, I've been pretty down on Apple lately. Right? I think we all have at TMO.
Yeah. I've been down a little bit too. I think I've been more down on the FBI than Apple, but I've had plenty of criticism to share for both.
Well, we've been cranky about iTunes.
Yes, that's true.
iTunes 12. What was John Martellaro's title? iTunes is still Apple's worst software, but now it's much better.
Yeah, something like that.
Right? I mean, I agree with that completely. We've been cranky about some of the fit and finish on Apple's software products. And I was frankly pissy about Apple not doing force touch on either the iPad Pro parentheses 12.9 inch close parentheses or the iPad Pro parentheses 9.7 inch close parentheses.
The Pro 12 and the Pro 9? Yep.
Yeah. And I was also and still very cranky about the ridiculous naming structure for both of those products as well. I mean, there's just been lots of little things that we've been kind of cranky about, but these are things that show me that Apple is working to improve stuff. Now, this might not affect you and me directly, whether or not Apple learns how to be a Chinese company, or whether Apple learns how to be an Indian company, or a Brazilian company, or a Russian company, or any other emerging market company. Mm-hmm. But it is very important to Apple's overall business strategy. And I'm actually quite confident in Apple's ability to navigate these kinds of waters.
I agree. And actually, I think right now they're in a better position to be able to navigate these waters under Tim Cook's leadership than they would have been under Steve Jobs.
I hazard that Steve would have left this stuff to Tim if Steve were still with us.
All right, I will grant you that.
You know, Steve would be focusing still on vision and products while, you know, this is kind of an operations area.
Yeah, but having the CEO of Apple going to these countries, I think that's a big thing, and that's an important message to the governments of these countries. Well, and to the consumers as well. The CEO of the company felt it was important enough that he needed to go. Not send one of his top people, but he needed to go personally.
Sure.
And if Steve was around, I think you're right. Tim would have gone, but it wouldn't have been the top man going.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I'd want Steve Jobs to be my emissary to another country.
I certainly wouldn't.
This is poop, except for he wouldn't use the poop word.
No, he would use the other one.
Yeah, he would use the other one.
Icky chocolate bars.
Right. So in the meanwhile, I'm on the Instagram. Did you know that? How's that for a segue? I'm on the Instagram. I'm at GeekTales. It's GeekTells. TELLS. GeekTells.
Did I get that out? Yeah. That's pretty cool. And you have some great photos that you put up there.
I do. I do. I'm not going to drown you in photos, but I've got some.
I won't drown you in photos on my Instagram account, although you may have to tread water a little bit more than you do with Brian's account.
Yeah, you're better. In other words, you're better at posting the photos, which is great. But you also have some good photos, and you do a great job of showing us some of your life.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And by the way, I'm Jay Gamut on Instagram.
On the Instagram.
And if you go and look at the recent photos that I posted, I was in Central City, which is a mountain town with a rich history in Colorado. just a few days ago, and sadly, it's totally decaying, and we need a much longer show for me to go into that. But I posted some photos from Central City, and it was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did you know that there's an opera house in Central City?
Nope. Well, I do now.
You do now. It's a world destination, although you wouldn't know it because the money is gone, and their operating season is 4 weeks out of the year now, and it's really sad. But it's one of the few venues that has perfect acoustics.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I even sang in there. I got a private tour, which was awesome. And I couldn't go on stage because I'm not Equity, and it's a union place. So I stood right in front of the stage and sang.
Aha.
And
on the floor?
Yeah, I stood on the floor.
I got you.
Yep. And, oh man, it was amazing. I have never experienced acoustics like that in my life. It was
very
awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. No, I don't have any photos of me singing, so you'll just have to trust me.
How about recordings?
Oh, actually, there is a recording. I don't have the recording, but Angela does.
Well, then she should post it. Instagram.
Maybe she should.
Yeah. Right. So, Instagram, GeekTales and Jay Gamet.
Yeah, go check out our photos because we think they're awesome.
We do think that they're awesome. Let's see here. Music downloads. You want to talk about that?
Sure. I like music downloads. Do you like music downloads?
Yes and no.
I totally get why you say yes and no, because there's a convenience to music downloads, but for some audiophiles, the quality that you get from downloads, say from the iTunes store, are not on par with what you prefer.
Yeah, I prefer some lossless files, and Apple won't let me have them. It's really annoying.
Yeah, they called me the other day, and they said, Jeff, here's the secret switch you flip so you can have lossless files. Oh, don't man. Tell Brian.
I knew it.
I know, and then Tim laughed. And then he's like, gotta go. JJ's here.
Right. So they're going away.
Not today, but they're going away.
Not today. And not in necessarily 2 years, but they're going away. And we had, the report was Digital Music News. Did that report. Was that last week or the week before?
Last week.
I think 24 robbers came knocking at my door.
Oh, man.
One.
I hope you had a good lock.
Three, four, five.
Did you call 911?
No, I did not call 911.
Did you use that little thing? Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. And there's 24 robbers at my door.
No. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Isn't it like an old poem?
Well, yeah, it's a jump roping thing.
Oh, okay. That's why I recognize it.
Yeah.
I've never been a quality jump roper.
Well, I haven't either, but that was a line in the Twilight Zone movie from the 80s.
Okay, I remember that. Hey, spoiler you alert. Want to see something really scary?
No, not that one. The where the old people get turned into kids.
Right, but same movie. That's where the hey, you want to see something really yes. scary line came from.
Yes, it is. It is true. Anyway, Spanish dancer.
Wasn't it Dan Aykroyd that played the taxi driver? I think it was. I think it's Dan Aykroyd who gets a line. Anyhow, yeah, I digress. So, yeah, 24 robbers are at your door.
And Apple did what were we talking about? talking about music downloads. Digital Music News reported that Apple was basically was in the process of phasing out music downloads in as little as 2 years, but possibly longer.
Yeah, and I said that the Digital Music News report is wrong because Apple's not phasing out music downloads over the next couple years or even like the next 4 years. But the fact that or the idea that
it could be within 4 years.
I don't think it'll be that fast.
It could be within 4 years. I suspect that it will be within 4 years.
Well, if that's the case, then within 4 years, I'll be going back to buying CDs.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're just not making this easy on me.
Yeah, I think you're going to be looking at streaming and vinyl. Those are going to be your options. But so anyway, there's an executive. I assume it's a she because the photograph accompanied. The title is "I'm a label executive, and this is my fair warning on iTunes music downloads." And then there's a picture of a woman from this back of her head.
Which could be a stock photo or...
Yeah, it could be a stock photo.
The photograph may be a distraction.
Yeah, it could, or misdirection.
That's what I meant to say. But you said distraction, and then that was stuck in my head.
Yeah, that was a peculiar use of...
Well played, sir.
And he or she, let's go with she.
Okay.
Says that... That it's happening, and you get and it's kind of directed towards independent labels.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not it's going to happen. It is happening. Meaning the phase out of music download purchases is already underway.
Yeah. So here's a line from the piece. Whether or not Apple wakes up one day and decides to tear down its iTunes music download store is not the most important thing because they are already starting to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Yeah,
this phase out is already happening, and Apple is definitely assisting this process. They are definitely not growing their download store, and they are doing what it takes to make this die a natural death. Now, I would actually further posit that Apple saw the death of downloads years ago. This is why they bought Beats. Mm-hmm. Beats Electronics and Beats Music. And that Apple was already keen on skating to that puck, to where that puck was going to be, and having a viable streaming service to compete with the Spotify's of the world, the Spotify's and the Pandora's. LOL, Pandora is kind of on the ropes, but whatever.
Good boy, howdy.
And Spotify doesn't make any money, but whatever. And that Apple was very keen. Now there was a very good piece that was put out, and I forget who did it now. It's been some time. It's been a couple of years at least, saying that Apple was keen on moving to streaming, but wanted to do so in a way that would not disrupt the music industry as a whole. They didn't want to kill the music industry in the process of switching over to streaming. So they had no interest in taking away music downloads right away, but they wanted to very much have streaming in place. And that's all in keeping with what Digital Music News reported and this sort of essay editorial from this unnamed label executive, mm-hmm. who, by the way, she said that she wouldn't say who she was, but she said, let's just say I'm in the mix with many labels. I won't get into the specifics of exactly from what level I am speaking. I see what you mean about her needing an editor. I am saying this. She says that she's someone who oversees a very substantial catalog of both the recording and publishing sides. So I'm assuming that she is a CEO or a senior vice president or a vice president of some sort for one of the major media companies.
That seems reasonable.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So what that means is that this is someone that's in a position to speak with authority.
Yeah, speak with authority. And she's basically saying, I'm going to pat myself on the back. She's saying what I was saying in the wake of the original news report. But I was speculating, and she's speaking from an informed position.
So that's some nice validation for you.
Sure, it is. Yeah. I don't need it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just have to take it where you can get it.
Exactly. And so music downloads, they're going to go away. And what that means for our music collections, I don't know. I don't trust Apple with my music library. I will not do iTunes Match or whatever it's called under Apple Music.
I have done that. I've experimented with the whole shooting match because I felt like I really needed to know how this stuff worked. And
one of us should.
Yeah. So I went ahead and jumped in and I'm a little more liberal with the audio quality that I want from my recordings. I mm-hmm. still want high quality, but I'm willing to settle for a little bit less than you are.
Well, I want the right files, and I guarantee you that Apple does not have in its library the rehearsals of my old band. They're not very good, the rehearsals, but I want to keep those for posterity.
Sure.
And Apple would delete them and match them to something.
No, it would not.
Well, it theoretically would not.
And for most people on the planet, it would not. And instead, what would happen is that music would get uploaded to Apple servers and held there. But mm-hmm. it would still be those songs.
Yeah, but they're going to downsample everything, too.
Yeah, well, that's a totally different thing.
And I don't want that either. See, you know, really what Apple should do on the match side is should look at what you have, match it to what's on its servers, and make those available to on any device that doesn't have them locally, but it should never touch your local copies.
I agree with that. And instead, it just favors the server music all the time. I think if you have music...
Well, favor the server music unless you have a local copy. I don't need to stream it if I have it.
That's what I mean. What it's doing right now is always favoring the streaming, and it should favor your local copy when that's present.
Yes. That's what they should do.
I agree.
Nonetheless, downloads are going away. And at some point, CDs will become super niche like vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Even if CDs become super niche, it's still easier for me because I don't have a turntable and nor do I have a place where I want to set one up. And nor do I have the equipment to feed that into my computer so that I can digitize my vinyl.
Right.
CDs, I can totally do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would imagine this would be a boon for services like when it happens. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. But when it does happen, I would imagine this would be a boon for services like Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bandcamp sells albums. And you can get them in a variety of formats, including lossless formats, and including lossless formats not supported by iTunes, like Vox Vorbis and
yeah, that's actually really cool.
Is it Og Vorbis or Vox Vorbis?
Og Vorbis.
Yeah, I got it wrong. That's so funny. Several musical formats that are not necessarily part of Apple's world. And I would imagine that when iTunes goes away, because like one of the things she says, I'm looking for the quote. She says something about making no mistake about it. Tear down. Make a mistake. Remember, she said, this is, I'm going to cough.
Oh, Brian's coughing, but it's okay. I'm covering for him, so you'll never know.
Thank you. This is all going to get far worse once downloads start to get seriously get weaker. And remember, iTunes is really the only player that matters here. That's true from the sort of grand economic scale kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But when iTunes actually does go away, it'll leave a lot more room for some of these smaller players like Bandcamp to possibly grow their music and still provide download sales for us.
Yeah, I think so. Which good for the little guys like that.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe good for us who still want to own our music.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm okay having a mix, but I still do enjoy buying some of my music.
Yeah, I'm torn on it. I don't know, man. I'm torn. I like having access to everything that's on Apple Music, and I am a subscriber.
So am I.
But it's in that I listen to the vast majority of my music in my car. Streaming isn't really an option.
Yeah, I can see. Yep.
You know, there's connectivity issues and bandwidth issues and bandwidth cap and various things like that. Like, so, you know, how T-Mobile, do you remember I was going to experiment on my trip to Texas?
Yes.
And I did. I tried. I tried actually listening to music through T-Mobile because T-Mobile has their binge on thing where they don't count data from a lot of different types of services, including Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
And including, I think they announced late last week or early this week, they announced more services that they won't count against your streaming.
That's great. Caps.
Yeah. And that's really great, except for the fact that T-Mobile has almost no coverage throughout, you know, the vast stretches of empty land between urban centers.
So that didn't do you any good.
Yeah, I really wasn't able to stream last fall on the highways. I just really wasn't.
Yeah, so instead you had to just fall back to your local music collection.
Right, which I had with me, so, you know, yay.
Yeah, so there's that.
I had with me because I had them on my iPhone, because I won't let Apple take them away.
They can pry your songs from your cold, dead hand.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be change resistant, and I don't want to ignore the future. There's a lot about Apple, about streaming that I like. I just, it's not quite there where I'm willing to trust it yet. Trust it entirely.
Yeah, I found it interesting that I was okay embracing streaming with Apple Music, and previously I just couldn't do that.
Yeah, if I listen to more music in the house. Anyway, all right, whatever. These are all very esoteric things pertaining to me and not pertaining to the vast majority of people.
Right, but the part that does pertain to most of us is that music downloads is a dying business.
Right. And Apple is skating to that puck, to where that puck is going to be, actually.
Yeah.
That's the thing there. That is the big thing. Well, all right. We have a couple of minutes. Maybe we should mention this Apple wireless charging hiring thing that Apple's been doing.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, so I think it was The Verge did some LinkedIn sleuthing.
Yes.
And realized that Apple has hired, I think they say dozens or a dozen.
Oh, I thought it was a dozen.
Yeah. A dozen engineers from the wireless charging world.
Right. Now, considering the time frame, some of those people may have been hired to work on the inductive charging technology that's used for Apple Watch.
Yep. Yeah, but they hired two people from Ubeam, which is a company not doing inductive charging. They're trying to do something that's not inductive charging. They're trying to do some kind of transmission based thing.
Right. Was it ultrasound?
Ubeam. No, not that one. That was another company.
All right. So they were doing the wireless radio frequency thing.
Yeah, microwaves, I think.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong with having a microwave generator in front of your face all the time?
That's true. Well, you know, I went and found that photograph of Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
inside the room that's just got, you know, that's got static electricity,
mm-hmm,
arcing all over the place.
Right.
He's just sitting there working. There's so many things that Apple could be doing. First of all, they could be working on something that's not related to wireless charging. That's not likely, though. You don't hire people from the wireless charging world and have them work on a new lightning cable.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
So are these people just beefing up the next Apple Watch? Are they working on an Apple phone, another iPhone for wireless charging? Because Apple is rumored to want to do wireless charging on iPhone in 2017, except for the rumor to want to do it not where you replace something, not inductive or even a near field kind of charging, but where you could actually be charging your phone while you're walking around in a room.
All right. That's a very compelling idea.
Yeah. Much more useful than inductive charging.
Right. And this is a nut no one has been able to crack.
Correct. No one is doing this yet. And Apple hasn't done anything. Apple hasn't even given a nod to some of the various near field charging solutions. Like, you remember we talked about that experiment that that Starbucks was doing?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Where they had there's those little charging pads where devices that are Android devices that are fitted with the right equipment can charge just by sitting on top of these little charging plates. It's not inductive.
I assumed it was inductive because you had to have the special receiver thing.
Yeah, but it's not sitting on the plate. It's sitting above the plate. Right? By definition, when you've got the... well, maybe it is touching. I don't know.
Well, if they put the plates underneath the tables and it has a strong enough field, then that's okay. Like I have an inductive charging system for my Apple Magic Mouse, and it works when I get the mouse close to the plate.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's like really close to the plate, but it's close to the plate. So if you cranked up the power going to that plate, then I could have the mouse a little bit farther away, and maybe even have a table that sits between the plate and the mouse.
And it's still inductive.
Yes,
that's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. All right. Well, that's what those things were. And then what the experiment that I saw at Starbucks running were all these adapters that you would plug into your device, so that even if your device didn't have the equipment necessary for inductive charging, it could charge. So for iPhones, they had Lightning and 30-pin dock connectors.
Mm-hmm.
That there were dongles that, you know, you plug them into your phone and then you set those dongles on top of the plates and boom, your device is charging.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's really cool. But Apple wants to do it one step better, and Apple wants to make it to where your device is charging just by being in the right room. And that could essentially be cool. But we don't necessarily know that Apple's going to be able to do that or that these people were hired to do that. And it could be something related to the car for all we know.
Yep, that's a possibility too.
But Apple's doing something. That's you know, you don't, like I say, you hire a dozen engineers in this field, a dozen that we know of, a dozen that LinkedIn was able to find.
If you get two, it could be a coincidence and they're working on a different project. When you're getting a dozen, it's an intentional hiring.
Yeah, and two from Ubeam in the last 4 months. And I said LinkedIn was able to find them. I meant that The Verge was able to find them.
Thanks to LinkedIn.
Yeah, through LinkedIn. Yeah. Their LinkedIn foo is strong.
Yes, yes it is. All right, so that tells me that we have more wireless charging coming to Apple products. We just don't know what form that's going to take yet.
Yes. I don't know what form that's going to take, but it certainly bears watching and thinking about, and it should be an excellent reminder to anyone who says that Apple isn't I know we don't have time for that rabbit hole.
People say Apple's not innovating when Apple doesn't make the product that they personally want.
Yes.
And so people would be more accurate if they said, Apple's not catering to my personal desires.
Yeah, but I don't get how people can pretend to themselves that Apple didn't do iterative innovations when Steve was around.
Yeah, they did that all the time. Look at the iMac. That's a perfect example.
Well, the first iMac, amazing, right? Completely, you know, shifted like perceptions on a dozen different levels about lots of things about a computer.
Right.
But then from then on, it was iterative changes.
Mm-hmm.
It was new colors and faster processors and
different displays
and then they did the fanless version, right? The finally Steve could have his fanless computer that he'd been wanting since the Apple III.
Mm-hmm.
right? You know, but finally, you know, finally you could do that. And, you know, first it's a CD player and then it's a DVD drive and then it's a super drive. And of course, you know, then eventually those went away. And it's just like, this is what Apple does. It released the iPhone. And since then it's been iterative changes. Apple released the iPad. And since then it's been iterative changes. This is actually Apple's model. And people mm-hmm. pretend for some reason, like this is something new, that the changes from iPhone 5 to 6 or 6 to 6 Plus are somehow some sort of step backwards where Apple's not doing anything new. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that people get so upset about Apple doing iterative change when that's what they've done for the entire existence of the company.
That was one of the big things that Steve Jobs learned while he was away from Apple, right? It was one of the big things. That's part of what he brought to Apple when he came back, was I've learned now that we can do little changes every year and it's going to be a thing.
Right. And it's been working very well for the company.
Yeah, it worked under Steve, and it's working under Tim.
Right. My expectation is that the next Apple Watch will have iterative changes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right. And there will be people that will freak out and they'll say, see, Apple can't innovate because they didn't make the Apple Watch that I want to buy.
Right. And I managed to find that rabbit hole anyway.
Yeah, that's all right. It was a fun little rabbit hole to dive down into.
Yay. All right. That's we're out of time.
Yep, we are. So this is a part where I hit the button that starts us really ending the show. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Let's see here. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom Recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. It's like it's new every week or something.
I know, it's crazy.